We'll try this in here. It may belong to one of our young people, but says found on floor in back, and this was Thomas when he was cleaning yesterday, found this bracelet. It's got several different color stones, different shades of blue. It's Michael's, is it? And does anyone recognize this? Maybe. Okay. If not, I'll auction it off on eBay and get what I can out of it. So we'll try to find a little bit later on. All right. Well, it's good to see y'all here. David, you took the big plunge, buddy. God bless you. You should listen to guys smarter than you. You really ought to. But you know, at that age, there's just no talking to them. They're just going to go ahead and do it. So congratulations. Congratulations. We're a little tired of Lacey walking around like this, though. She's just coming. Watch it, bud. I'll send Tom Daffron up back there to beat you up. So. Randy, everybody's a little older than you. That's good. Yeah. That's all right. You can give me a hard time anytime you want, brother. Anytime the Spirit moves you back there, that's all right. It's so good to have Brother Lou DeFilippantonio here. And I mean that. I'm glad to have him here because what he does and his burden fits so well into what we're emphasizing this month. But I'm also just glad to have him here because he's such a good friend. And I'm excited about him and his wife and his daughter Lacey's here with us. We're glad that you're here, Lacey. And we are thankful that we're going to have the opportunity. Hadn't this been a good month? Hadn't it been a good month? It just seems like every week, God, I think in my heart, has stirred me and I think enlarged our vision in a lot of different areas. And you say, Brother Jerry, what are we going to do about all this? You know what? I don't know. I always wish we could do as much as we could dream about doing. But let me tell you this. We need to do some things. We need to go forward. Don't ever get satisfied with the status quo. Don't ever get to the point where we're doing enough. We're good enough. We shouldn't push any harder. Oh, my goodness sakes. You know, if Jesus Christ comes back at the end of this year, did you hear what I said? If Jesus Christ come back at the end of this year, we're not going to be sorry that if in all areas we pushed just as aggressively as we could to get the gospel out. We're not going to be sorry about that. And we're proceeding and asking the Lord to lead us and guide us. I'll talk a little bit more about that in our church hour. But I want you to prayerfully consider, we've talked all month about this. While I kind of have the adults here, at least most of the adults, let me challenge you in this matter of tonight. We're going to be passing out some cards. And we want to be able to know what we can do. And we need to take some more missionaries on. And so I want you to prayerfully consider throughout today, and I hope you've been doing this all month long, and to fill out a commitment card tonight. That Brother Jerry, from this Sunday on, as the Lord provides, I want to commit this amount more of my income, give an offering every week towards missions so that we can begin to tackle some of these projects here. And I'm excited about this thing. I was telling Brother Lou last night, this thing about Jewish missions just got me stirred up. We really need to do some things in that area. Brother Carney came and just, I think, helped us tremendously by allowing us to see that there's nations in the world, folks, that are untouched. And to be a part of BIMI's effort to see BIMI missionaries in 100 nations, 20 more nations in the next 5 years. I mean, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. And then Brother Jeremy Rand, I've had more people probably this week come to me saying, Brother Jerry, we're going to do something about that, aren't we? We're going to start putting Bibles together or John and Romans. We need to start supplying. We can do that, can't we? We can do it. Yeah, we can. But you know, folks, wishing it done never gets it done. Or sitting back hoping somebody else steps forward and sacrifices has never got anything done in the history of Christianity. Every single person, we need to prayerfully consider What would God have me to do? Now, today, I've asked Brother Lou to come in because we've talked about Jewish missions. We've talked about kind of a worldwide vision. We've talked about the printing ministries and the necessity of not just sending missionaries, but equipping them with the tools that they need. And we've brought in Brother Lou. Brother Lou, I guess he's so multi-gifted. But if there is, I think, a special gift that God has given him, it's in this area of helping pastors and helping small churches or people that are planting churches, get them up and running. And we talked a little bit about this. I spent a Sunday night, the first week of February, challenging us and helping us to get a burden beyond our little circle of influence here. Southern Indiana needs churches. Southern Illinois needs churches. It's just not me that's burdened about this. Our pastor's been burdened about this for years. Pastor Ross has talked about that for years. Other pastors in Southern Indiana are starting to get on board on this and getting a burden about this. We want to get something collectively done to start actively getting churches planted or helping small struggling churches that maybe are there, but they just don't have the manpower to maybe get things up and running where we could come in and be some kind of blessing, some kind of help to them. So I've asked him to talk a little bit about that throughout the morning. I just give him freedom, said, Brother Lou, this is the emphasis of this weekend, but you teach and preach whatever God leads you to teach and preach. So I've taken enough of his time. At 25 after, Brother, 25 after 10, we'll need to stop, okay? So you've got till then. And thank you again, Brother Lou, for coming and being with us. And we're going to turn it over to you.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm glad to be here. I enjoy talking about missions. I enjoy talking about my country. I'm an American. Don't ask if I'm an Italian American. I am not. I am an American Italian. I was born in South Philly, raised in South Jersey on a farm. I mean, just dirt and mud and tomato plants. Hallelujah. I feel right at home in Southern Indiana, where we are, I believe. And I've been about 10 different states in the last 12 different weeks. And so I know that I'm in Indiana. Amen. And it's good to be here. I really enjoy. Brother Jerry Ross is one of my dearest friends in the whole world. Brother Ross, I love Brother Ross. Y'all have been supporting our ministry since its inception. And starting churches and helping churches. And I want to thank you very much. It's been a blessing. I never have to worry. One of the worries missionaries have and evangelists have, folks have that are trying, that live by faith, just like you and I live by faith. I guess I better turn this on, huh? Does that work? Oh, look at that sound. One of the worries that folks have. Okay. One of the worries folks have that we have. Oh, when Dave touches something, he probably broke it. Is the beginning of every month, you wonder, are we going to be able to eat this month? Now, I'll be honest with you. I have never, one time, ever wondered if Blessed Hope's check was coming in. Amen. Can I say that? You might not understand this, but that says something about a church. And I appreciate your church. I appreciate its faithfulness to give. And not just to me, but to other missionaries that you folks support that I know. And I've talked to them. And they've made this statement. Some churches, I wonder if it's coming this month. But I've never had to worry about Blessed Hope's. And so I appreciate that. I really do. We're going to talk about missions this morning. Take your Bible, please, and open it to Acts chapter 1. And I apologize. I caught a cold about three or four days ago, and I have not been able to shake this stupid thing. And so I apologize. If I turn my head and cough, please, I'll try not to cough in the microphone. But I have been struggling with this crazy thing. I guess God's punishing me for going to California for a week. I preached a revival meeting in California and in the dead of wintertime. First time in my entire life I got out of the north to go south And I went to San Diego. I mean, it was 88 degrees. Brother, I took my cowboy boots off and stuck them in the Pacific Ocean. The water was cold, but I wanted to say that I did it. And we did some soul winning, did some visiting, preached every night. We had a great time, but 88 degrees just probably isn't the will of God when you live in a place that's -5 on average temperature. And I called my kids this morning, and it's snowing in Gaylord, Michigan right now. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad I'm here. Let me read you a couple of quotes that I read. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1. We're going to read about the first 9 verses. Hudson Taylor made this statement. He said, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow him. He also made this statement. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. My friends, you and I, William Carey, the famous statement William Carey made, expect great things from God, attempt great things from God. But one of my favorite statements, C.T. Studd made. C.T. Studd, famous preacher, made this statement. He said this. He said, some wish to live within the sound of the chapel bell. He said, I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. I believe we ought to be concerned about the souls of men. I believe with all my heart that the churches ought to be concerned. We ought to be concerned about our neighborhood. We ought to be concerned about our state. We ought to be concerned about our nation as a whole. If you look at the facts and you understand the facts, that the United States of America sends 75% of all the world's missionaries. America sends about 75% of them. Now, per capita, we're about the 18th per capita in sending missionaries. But as the whole goes, 75% of the world's missionaries come from America. And my friends, we cannot lose. Listen, we cannot lose our country. We cannot lose our country. And can I say this? If we cannot lose our country, so let's back up, which means we cannot lose the freedom we have in our state. And let me take it all the way back to where you and I live. We cannot lose our church here, Blessed Hope.
Amen.
When you think missions, it starts at home. I don't know exactly who it was, but I heard my pastor make this statement one time, John Jenkins. He said, the light that shines farthest must shine brightest at home. Now, there's probably something, because he reads a lot, and some great missionary, great Christian said that somewhere, and he quoted it, so I don't know exactly who said it, except for the fact that I heard him say it. And I've not read it anywhere else, but the light that shines the farthest must shine brightest at home. My friends, you and I can never do anything more. Now listen, when I was in Hollis College, nobody ever taught me the difference between Sunday school and church. So I'll preach through both hours, and it'll be okay. Maybe I just wasn't listening. Maybe, let me just rephrase it. I wasn't paying attention in that class. But if you and I lose home, we're going to be in trouble.
Right.
If you and I lose our church and lose what we have here, if we don't understand that missions is here.
Yes.
Mission support. I mean, everything about the work of God is centers right here around the local New Testament church. You can't go, and listen, if you catch nothing else, you catch that the most important thing you have is your church.
Amen.
Besides your wife, besides your spouse and your family, the most important thing, and your salvation, the next most important thing you have after salvation and your family is your church.
Amen.
In that order, salvation, family, church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And family and church kind of go together.
Amen.
Now take your Bible, and I'll read you a couple of verses, and I'll try to teach you something. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 1 in Acts, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It says in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray you'll bless us this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll have your will and way, and God, you'll fall on each and every heart and life and ear. Lord, we need you this morning, Jesus. We want to try to lift you up, God. We want to try to help some folks and maybe explain some things, God, that we have found. And Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you just lead and guide and direct. Lord, I want to tell you I love you. God, it's good to be one of yours. And Father, I want to thank you for being good to this old boy. I want to thank you for the kindness, God, that you have bestowed upon me, not only in salvation, but just in the way you have met my every need. Father, would you please bless us this morning as your people? Father, would you help this dear church, Blessed Hope, God, one of my favorite places to come. God, some of the dearest people on earth. And Father, I pray you just help us this morning. God, would you stir our hearts this day, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me just say a couple things. As we think about church planting, let me explain what I call the gospel in a nutshell, missions in a nutshell. Missions in a nutshell is found, you find it in verse 8. I mean, God explained the entire plan for worldwide evangelization. God explains it, I believe, as concisely as he can in verse 8. He says in verse 8, look at it with me. He says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, several things jump out at me. Now, I know he's talking to a group of people here. But for some reason, when I see the word ye, it just simply means you. Now, I'm not real smart. Like, I'm a country boy. And I'm not an English major. My wife is an English major. I have a tough time, you know, spelling my name. So do you. But the word ye, I know God, listen, I know Jesus is talking to the church. But I want you to understand that you are the church. This building is not the church. This building is nothing more than a place to keep you warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and the rain off of you when it rains, and the snow off of you when it snows. This building is nothing more than a tabernacle. It's nothing more than a building. It's a dwelling. But the Bible says that the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into your heart, and you became that which the Bible calls a called out. You and I are a called out body of believers. You and I that are saved are called. I know you all understand all that. I know that for the last 30 plus years that this dear man of God has taught you all. I understand that. But I'm just trying to refresh your minds and maybe explain to you some of you new folks that have come in the last couple of months. I want you to understand that the church is not this building. You and I are the church. And God says, ye shall be witnesses. God wants you and I to know that it's you and I, that it's my responsibility. Yes. Everything about the church, I am to take personally. Yeah. Everything. This is not his church. This is not his church. It's your church. It belongs to him, and he's allowed us to be part of it.
Amen.
And he says, you're the church. So I just have this habit of reading things and just taking them as literally as I can. Now, maybe that's a mistake on my part, but I don't think so. God says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he makes a statement, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, I'm not real smart, but God said, I'm going to give you something for you to use for my kingdom, but here's what you have to do with it. You have to spread it around. You have to spread it around. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, my friend, God expects us to be soul winners. He expects us. I don't even like using the term. People hear the word soul, and they go, oh, I can't do that. Can I say, let me just say this. God expects us to be his mouthpiece. He expects us to be a living, breathing, walking testimony of the grace and goodness of God. Now listen, I believe you and I ought to tell people about Jesus. But you know, some of you and I are the only Bible some people are ever going to read. Now, can I say that I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism as the only form of evangelism? But it is a form.
Yes.
You and I they need to know there's something different about us. God said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He said, I'm going to give you power, and you're going to be my witnesses. Not ye. He didn't say you were going to be my mouthpiece, necessarily. He said you're going to be my witness. I think everything that you and I are, everything that you and I have been given by God, I think God wants us to use that as a tool of witnessing, as a tool of letting everybody know, hey, look how good he is.
Amen.
Everything. Everything. I mean, in the way you walk, in the way you talk, in your entire conduct, your entire manner of life. The Bible calls it your conversation. He's not talking about just lip service. He's talking about the way you and I live our lives. People ought to know that God says, you're my witnesses. And then he says something that, and when the apostles heard this, when the folks heard this, they didn't even bat an eye. They understood it just like that. And it made sense to them. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. Then he says, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Now, I got to studying this thing, and I've been studying it for a while. And when I saw that, and I was talking with your preacher. Brother Jerry and I riding down the road yesterday evening, and we were on our way to the hospital, and he and I were talking, and he told me about what he preached about this both. And I told him, I said, you know, that's pretty good. I said, I'm going to hit that too. But that little phrase, both in, literally means at the same time. At the same time. I've heard it said all my life and never could figure out why, how they could say it. But people always have said, you're supposed to be everywhere all at once. And I went, how can I do that? And I heard missionaries and missionary preachers come up and say, well, bless God, you ought to be, if God didn't call you to go, then you ought to be sending people. And I'm going, amen, where do I find that? God, my friends, God says, you're going to be witnesses unto me both in. Then he says, Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And it would have been okay if he'd have said, one at a time, I want you to go here, then I want you to go there, then I want you to go there, then I want you to go there, then I want you to go there. But he didn't say that. He said, I want you to do it all at once. Our mission, our commission from God is to be a witness everywhere in the world. All at the same time. And I notice you have the world and all of its continents on your back wall. And you've had it on there, if I remember correctly, for a while. When you walk in and turn around, or when you walk out to leave and turn around and walk out, you ought to be able to look at that wall, and you ought to be able to understand, I believe that the pastors here, the preacher here, and this preacher here now want you to understand that that's our goal. Because that's God's goal for us. Now let me explain a little bit about missions and about home missions. And let me explain a little bit about what we do. Our ministry is called Pillar Baptist Ministry. Let me explain what we do out of here, because when God says, I want you to be a witness unto me, both in, And then he mentions Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria. Jerusalem is a city. It's a place where people, obviously live, but it's a city. It's a location. It's a small location that a church can reach. But when he said, you're going to be witness unto me, he said, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, what Jesus was saying was this. He was saying, I want you, and he mentioned Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria all make up the nation that we know and was then known as the nation of Israel. It was Judea was the southernmost and Samaria was the northernmost for lack of, you know, geographical ability. It made up the nation, the known nation of Israel. You know what God was saying? God mentioned home three times. Three times. Now, in canon of Scripture, God mentioned home here three times. And none of his disciples balked. None of his, all the other ones. Okay, we understand. Can I say, they understood we have misused, misrepresented, or maybe just absolutely forgotten. It's easy to misunderstand, you know, this phrase both in. And that's okay. But God still had a bunch of folks. I'm talking about first century Christianity. I'm talking about a bunch of folks. I'm talking about a bunch of fishermen. I'm talking about just common, down to earth, everyday, normal, just people. And he looked at them and he said, I want you to, you're going to be a witness of me, both in. I mean, all at the same time. And they didn't even balk. They didn't fuss. They went, okay, we understand that. And in our country, and in our society today, we have gotten away from understanding what you and I are to do. We have gotten away from this missions in a nutshell. When Jesus mentioned home, he mentioned it three times to his disciples. He said, now do you think, now am I saying that I believe that you ought to do three times as much at home than you do on the mission field? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I believe there ought to be a concentrated effort in everything you do. I mean, you ought to be trying to reach every, you ought to be trying to touch every country. You ought to be trying to touch every nation. I forget how many nations there are in the world. I mean, several hundred of them. We ought to be trying to touch every nation and every language. We ought to be trying to get the gospel out everywhere we go, but not forgetting home. I believe you and I have a responsibility to our nation. Now, in 1611, I believe God reinforced our call to world missions. In 1611, God gave you and I a copy of the Word of God in our language. Now, the King James Bible that you have in your lap, if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible. You have a book that you can light a fire with. You know, it's good for the animal cage.
Amen.
It doesn't say King James on it. God, I believe, with all my heart, in 1611, God sanctioned America by giving us His Word and said, it's your job to evangelize my world, your world. It's your job. It's your responsibility. I've given you my word in your language so you can understand. It's now your turn. In Europe, they dropped the ball. In Europe, they dropped the ball. There was a time, listen, I study Baptist history. I love Baptist history. It's one of my passions. And I've studied the history of the church and Baptist history. And I have seen God literally move out of Europe into America. And He's given us our word, His word in our language. It's our responsibility. Every one of us, not one of us that's saved has an option. It's your responsibility. God said, I'm going to give you power. You're going to be my witness. We have no excuse. We have no way out. And God says, I want you to be a witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the other part of the earth. He said, all at the same time. Both in. All at the same time. Now, can I say, my friends, our country's in trouble.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
I recommend not watching the news. unless you're having a real good day in your Bible. Because the news is bothersome. You know, they call it news. They ought to call it the doom and gloom station. They never say anything good. It's always bad. I don't like bad news. I watch the weather. And then I turn it off. Because I don't want to go. Listen, at 10 o'clock, I don't want to go to bed depressed. You watch the news and it's not good. I go through airports and I pick up the papers and I'll read papers. I mean, these folks have no idea how to put something good in there. I mean, nowhere. Somebody, God have mercy, ought to have some sense. There ought to be one writer rise up and write something good every once in a while. But it's all bad. And it's all negative. And can I say, that's because there's so much negative in the world. And you and I can't get in that. But let me just say, our country is in trouble. Our country is in dire need of revival. It's in dire need of churches. Listen, we have forgotten our gospel of missions in a nutshell. We have forgotten this missions verse. We have forgotten our responsibility as a church, I believe, even. Let me give you a little history lesson. After World War II, now World War I, we whooped up on everybody, and we were a world power. World War II, we whooped them again, but this time, we really whooped them. We should drop two or three of them big bombs, and we got everybody's attention, like, don't mess with us. And then we got cocky and proud as a nation. And it was two cars in every garage, two chickens in every pot. Now, I wasn't around. I was born in 1957. And I wasn't around to see. I don't remember much that happened in the 40s and 50s because I wasn't involved in those stuff. I wasn't around. But there are many of you that are a few years older than I am that remember some of that. And what took place when we had an industrial revolution, I mean, and our country just skyrocketed off the charts in its influence and in its power. I mean, we were the absolute world power. By the way, we are still the greatest nation on the face of God's earth. Amen. It goes right there. But what took place in our churches hurt us. Because in the 50s, the mega church thing came on the scene in the 40s and 50s, the mega churches. And we went from having country churches in every holler to having mega city churches. And don't worry about them country folks. Let them die and go to hell. We're going to have a big, huge, gorgeous auditorium. It's going to cost millions. Listen, and we started having these gigantic mega churches. I'm not against big churches. I believe you ought to. Listen, I'd rather win 10 people than one. I'd rather have 10,000 in church than in 1,000. I'd rather have 100 than 10. But listen, I'm not against them. I'm just saying we forgot where we came from. We forgot that we were supposed to reach our nation. And here's what happened. We started having big churches. And we said, forget our neighbors. Forget our cities. Forget anybody else. The only thing that's important is us. We got proud. Now, I've done a little bit of study on history, about American history, and about church history. And Brother Ross, what I have found is by the 1960s, we had almost, by the end of the 1950s, we had almost completely quit church planting in our country. Almost completely stopped starting other churches. What we started doing is just building our church and sending missionaries. Now when you say missions, the first thing, and we'll get junior church kids in here, and you say, well, when you think of a mission field, what do you think of? And they'll say, China, Japan, Africa. You know, they'll name everything but home.
Right.
Everything but home.
Right.
I do it in junior churches all over the place. I like doing it. Well, I say, what do you think of? Where do you think of? We ought to go as missionaries. They'll name every place but home. You know why? Because we're proud about who we are and what we have. And we've forgotten what God said. And God told his disciples, you're going to be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem, your city, all Judea and all Samaria, which makes up all of your country,
and the uttermost part of the world, the uttermost part of the earth, all at the same time. What God was saying is, I want you to go all around the world at once. But I want you to, I think there ought to be an effort where you and I are reaching the place that I have sanctioned and given the responsibility to world missions. God just puts an emphasis on home. Can I tell you, my friends, your church is the most important entity you have, bar none, in this world. It's as if they can correct me later, and I know they probably don't disagree with me, but the church is vital. Can I say the church is just, I think, almost equal to your marriage? Because it'll help your marriage. It'll help your family. Yo, listen, you gotta live your life based around this thing right here. You gotta live your life. You gotta base your life around what's going on here. The church is absolutely. Jesus came. He gave us. He started the very first church. He gave us the church. There's nothing more important than the church than Jesus. He gave us the church for us to have and to grow and to learn and to use it to go into all the world. And to be part of both end. And God says that the church is absolutely vital, and He gave His life for it. He gave His life for you and I. He gave His life so you and I can have a place to come and gather. Hey, this is headquarters. This is where we come to get the goods. This is where we come. This is not only headquarters, this is the hospital. This is where we come when we're sick and we're wounded, we're wore out, and we don't know what to do. And we come and we sit and we hear about the grace of God and get excited. We're losing our country. We're losing our churches. Listen, we absolutely must start churches. Do you understand that in 1900, there were 27 churches for every 10,000 people in America? 27 churches. Churches of all kinds. But 27 churches, things that I would not call a church, but that the world does. 27 churches for every 10,000 people in America. By 1994, there were less than 8. But here's what I found. In 1900, there were 27 churches. 1952, they were still running pretty close. There were 22 churches for every 10,000 people in America. But from 1952 to 1985, in that 30-year gap of space, they went from 22 churches for every 10,000 to 12,000. And by 1994, just 11 years later, 9 years later, they went from 12 to less than 8. You say, well, that's because of the population explosion. Yeah, maybe. But it's also because of the lack of church explosion. Can I say there are probably not 100 churches a year start in our country? I've called all the colleges. I've polled all the other churches, the people that I know, and I've polled probably about 500 people that I know. And I had less than 100 churches that I know of on average that have started in the last year. Now, in our country every year, in every year, 3,000 churches on average close. A whole bunch of them I want to close, but they're not even churches. But a lot of them are like just like this one. Old-fashioned, standards, Bible, soul-winning, visitation. I mean, people that love God. Churches like this one close every year. Now, if 100 are starting a year and 3,000 are closing a year, we got a problem. We got a serious problem. Now, can I say, we're sending missionaries. Because we have forgotten home. Home is in trouble, my friends. Home is in trouble. God said three times in Jerusalem, you're going to be witness unto me both in Jerusalem. Can I say that's your city? I want to say that's your local church. If you'll let me put this in this kind of a layman, kind of an unusual term. Jerusalem is your local church. Jerusalem is the area, I believe Jerusalem is the area that you can reach effectively. That means you ought to be spreading out and going as far as you can.
Out of the church up in Gaylord, Michigan, we're going out about 40 miles. It's about as far as we can go between bus and van and 5 foot of snow. I mean, we're about 40 miles out. Our church is in the center of our county of Otsego County, and probably we can touch. We get into the center of five other counties around us. That is as far as Grace Baptist Church right now can go physically as a unit. But we have helped start other churches around the country. About 10, 12 of them in the last 7, 8 years I've been there. You say, why? Because we're trying to reach our, not only our Jerusalem, but our Judea and our Samaria. And while we have been starting churches in our country and helping grow our church where we are, we've been starting other churches. But let me say, just like your church has, and just like your church, our church has been reaching and starting churches on mission fields. I was in Mexico a couple years ago helping start some churches and spent some time over there preaching in a bunch of small little villages where folks were gathering together. As a matter of fact, I helped a group of people organize, Brother Humberto Gomez and I helped a group of people organize a church there in Mexico. And that was exciting. And my wife and my son Lewis, I mean, they were with me. It was exciting. I had never started a church on a mission field. That was cool. Sure, I want soul winning. I'm concerned about America. I'm concerned about America. I don't have time, but I got about 6 minutes left. There are so many staggering facts about America where we just lost ground. Let me just read some of the things David Gibbs has put out in his paper. I love David Gibbs's paper. He says, when I think of America, I think of the 2 out of every 5 children who do not live with their biological father. He said, when I think of America, I think of a nation that now ranks 16th, actually it's 18th, in the world per capita in sending missionaries overseas. He says, when I think of America, I think of the 270,000 students who carry guns to school every day. If you went to public school, you'd want to carry one too. When you got more security in the school than you do in an airport, you got problems! He says, I think of America. He says, when I think of America, I think of how every 60 seconds a baby is born to a teenage mother. He says, when I think of America, I think of the average child who will witness over 15,000 murders on television before he reaches the age of 18. There's just staggering amounts. When I think of America, I think of a nation that lost a total of 1,160,581 lives in the Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I and II, Korean War, and the Vietnam War combined. This same nation has lost over 40 plus million lives in abortion. Now, my friends, we're a nation in trouble. And can I say, the Bible says, when the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer to that question is simple. Nothing. Because it's too late. And my friends, our job as Americans, our job, our commission by our general, Jesus Christ, he gave us the Bible in our language, and he has commissioned the United States of America, old-fashioned Bible-believing Christians like you and I, to rise up and build churches. Start churches and get people saved all over the place. Listen, your Jerusalem is important, but your Judea and Samaria and the other part of the world is just as important to God. But what we have done is by the 1950s, we have forgotten the importance of Judea and Samaria and the other part of the earth. Uttermost part of the world, we have forgotten that. And I beg you, my friends, to get behind your church and your pastor to get involved, doing all you can here in your Jerusalem. But let's concentrate not just on our Jerusalem. Let's concentrate on our Judea and our Samaria. Let's not lose what we have. Let's not take for granted what we have. Because when we do, then we'll lose it. Let's not take for granted the freedom we have. Let's not take for granted the grace of God and the ability to come to church and worship and not wonder if the Gestapo is going to come in and start shooting people. Let's stand.
stand up and speak out while we have the opportunity. But one of these days we won't. My friend, one of these days we won't. I'll tell you why. Because most folks won't. Most folks won't. Now we have a nation that we go to war with Iraq, and it just aggravates the fire in me. How do you have a friendly war? Well, we can't shoot people. We can't do this. We can't do that. Excuse me? Friendly war? Last time I checked in the Bible, brother, and you know better than I do, God would send a nation against Israel, and he'd beat them to death. Or God sent Israel against a nation and said, clean them up, kill everybody, including the animals. Now, I'm glad I'm not God, because if I was God, I'd kill all of them over there. But I have to kill me too, because I ain't worth shooting. But listen, my friends, we're in trouble. You and I need to pray. And you and I need to work. And we need to give. We need to pray. There's nothing more important than you and I praying. And then right behind that, we need to work. I mean, bless God, we need to dig in. We need to find us a place to serve. And I mean, go all out. Listen, I don't want to bust out. I don't want to rust out. I want to burn out for God. I got to quit. There's a guy in the back door looking at me going, time for you to go, buddy. It's 25 after. My friends, listen. We as a nation, we as the people of God, need to understand our role in missions. And our role in missions is both in. That's what our role is, both in. Our Jerusalem, here in our church. Our Judea and Samaria, our nation. Our state and our country. And the uttermost part of the earth all at the same time. Our focus needs to be a world view and a world missions focus. And we need to concentrate, I think, on getting some churches started here in our country, because we're losing 3,000 a year. Now, I'm not real smart, but from the time I started this, 2006, 12 years ago, we've lost 36,000 churches in America. And we've only started about 100 a year. We're in trouble, my friends. Let's pray. Brother Jerry, why don't you come close us and we'll kind of go from there.
Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts about this. And Lord, I pray that you'd guide us. Lord, you've placed this church in this strategic location, Lord, for a reason. Way back, Lord, you directed men to plant a church here. And Lord, we want to now look around and ask God, for you to show us all of those reasons. And I pray, dear Lord, for not just our Jerusalem, but our Judea and our Samaria. And Lord, of course, even to the uttermost parts of the world, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, we'll meet back here at 25 till and start our morning service. Thank you. Well, that was good.
Yeah, you think? It's only 3 years old. I got any more space.